Yeah, we are.
Oh, okay. All right, just making sure.
Live from Williamsburg, Virginia. That's just... And that's what I feel like doing when I hear that.
That was really good.
I feel like good. I feel like Wink Martindale and shit.
All right, so welcome everybody to episode 44 of the Comic Related Podcast. We are broadcasting, of course, live on the newtech.fm/live, part of the New Tech Podcast Network. I am Michael Knight, and with me, as always, in studio is...
Wait, hold on. Your name's really Michael Knight?
Yeah, sadly, yes.
Your name is really Michael Knight.
So with me as always, though, is my partner in crime.
Matt Lustock.
And then sitting in for our own ginger human torch, Will Chamberlain, we have a special guest today who is...
Kevin Cuff. Silent E.
Silent E.
Silent E.
Right. His name's got to be all complicated.
It does.
Now who's fancy?
That's right. So, the fucked up Irish last name.
we're doing something completely different with this episode, and that's we're not talking shit about news today. Not one article, not one anything, because we wanted to dedicate some time to a local hero that came from our area and has moved on to great pastures in Cincinnati, and that's Bob France. Welcome, Bob France, to the Comic Related Podcast. Hey, man.
Hi. Do me a favor, and can you throw up a link on the Google chat so I can put it up on my Facebook page if you don't mind?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, sure. A link like
the newtech.tv/live.
Oh yeah. And, oh, just fucking ask for it, man. Shit.
That's what I did. I just did.
Wait. That's wrong. It's the newtech.fm/live.
That's what you get for having some complicated email shit, sir.
No, man. Yeah. Like, we used to have everything out of the one site of .fm.
See, if you could see this, if you're broadcasting this somewhere else, they could see, like, Kevin has no tech shit in front of him because he will bust it up. It's like the Hulk or something.
Yeah, he's yeah.
I wish I could show you this right now, because the thing I'm seeing right here is 404 not found.
Yeah, that's why I said, yeah, it's .fm, not .tv. We have .tv. But that's for podcasts, like video podcasts and stuff like that. .fm's for the audio stuff. So we split all that stuff out recently, so I fucked up. That was my bad.
What a bunch of amateurs.
That's right. Exactly. I am a piece of shit, and I am sorry.
Look, I tried to make it as easy as I possibly could for you.
I keep fucking it up.
And you keep fucking it up.
I can't help it.
That's all right.
I can't help it.
So, I like it, though. I like it.
So, Bob, you are an ex-radio DJ host talk show guy, and someone who I miss a lot, by the way. I'm going to throw that out immediately.
Me too.
Because you had both time slots that I was driving in. Ass early in the morning and then right around 3 o'clock. So,
see, if for us it was funny, it's actually, what day is it today? The 3rd?
The 3rd, yeah.
Obviously a stay-at-home dad.
I know, I don't even know what day it is.
Is it like Tuesday?
Is it 2012? That's we're right. about 4 days away from the 3rd anniversary of the show being canceled.
Yeah, wow. It's crazy. I was looking that up too, and oh shit, you froze. That's probably not good.
No. That's
oh.
not.
Weird.
Oh, there he is. There, he came back, sort of, but he hasn't moved yet.
Matt, fix it.
All right, so...
I'm going to blame you.
You're good. Yeah, so I was looking that up because I was thinking, man, what was that, like a year and a half ago? What? It was almost 3 years. It blew my friggin' mind, man.
Yeah, it's been 3 years, dude. But it's cool, man. Like, it happens, but I forgot what we were talking about.
We're talking about you. I'm talking about you and your history. So you have moved on from the radio show. You started doing podcasting yourself. You did Bob's Boneyard, which had you and a bunch of the friends, had the wife doing the mommy thing podcast. Yes. And then,
which was the most successful show we had, by the way.
Which is kind of cool.
That's
when
awesome.
You think about it.
Awesome.
Do you have any archives of that? Because I was kind of looking for some stuff.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of that stuff, man. Like, I guess the first month Stephanie's show was out, it was called Get Mommy a Drink.
Yeah.
They did almost like 50,000 downloads.
That's
in like a month.
Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy.
That is crazy.
And like the numbers stayed up there. I mean, they were big time and they were blowing us out of the water.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool, man. And then Stephanie wanted to focus more on her photography, and then my sperm is too powerful and I got her pregnant again. So she kind of dropped out of the podcasting world. And then I made I guess the fatal error, as you gentlemen know, and anyone who podcasts knows, that you can make money doing this, and that's just stupid.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, the audience didn't follow us, we had to move on. And I was selling insurance for a while, and I was terrible at that. And I waited tables at Olive Garden for a while.
Oh,
I was really good at that. because I'm a great waiter.
Yeah. But so let's talk about your secret passion, if I will. I'll throw it out there that you have kind of turned into a hobby. I would say hobby. You're obviously full-time dad. But,
yes, no, being a full-time dad is not a hobby.
No. That's like a full-time plus job.
That's right,
know.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Actually, everyone except for Matt here has kids.
We have children, yes, except for Matt.
Oh, cool. Congratulations. Yes.
So we're all, same to you, buddy.
Matt's sperm is not as powerful as everyone else's.
Wow. He just doesn't. Hey, man,
he's like the Hawkeye of the Avengers.
You bring your wife one over to my house, and I'll make sure.
So
I will send her on her way with some crusty underpants, and 9 months later, a baby. Here's to you.
Oh Jesus! So I don't know if would you consider it a hobby still, or kind of a fledgling thing.
Man, I'm trying the comic writing. Yep. I'm trying. Yeah, that's so all I can. I mean, I enjoy doing it. Making a hobby comic was a lot easier when I had a real job and like expendable income.
Right.
But now that I don't work and my wife is the sole provider of, you know, money and stuff, it's hard to pay artists to draw things. So now I just write because I enjoy it, and I literally have like just hundreds of Google Docs like full of scripts and ideas. Just
I like it, though. That's good.
I like it. I mean, I like doing it. And who knows? I still go to cons. I'm doing the Tidewater Con on the 11th at the Crown Plaza in Virginia Beach. Mike Federale invited
me. I thought it was the 12th.
Whatever.
He's like, dude, I don't have a job. Okay. Fuck. It doesn't matter.
People will show up on the 11th and wait for him.
That's right.
Yeah, because do you know who I am?
Exactly.
Well, it was one of those things. I was going to go to the Tidewater Comic Con anyway, and then we started kind of talking to you through Kevin, and then at the same point, I realized Mike was putting the thing together, and I was like, holy shit, small world totally. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's just kind of funny. So you're going to be there. We should at least get together and have,
I'll tell you what,
have some cough tea or something.
As a fellow writer, the first thing you're missing is the fucking crazy Alan Moore beard.
He's got the hair, though.
Yeah, he does have the crazy hair.
I've got an afro. just more because I'm lazy. I can't really grow facial hair. But my daughter told me today that I was a girl.
No, it's good. Go. I'm listening.
She told me today I'm a girl because I have long hair and I don't have a mustache. So
I like
wow.
So you need a mustache.
They are brutally honest. Kids will body slam the shit out of you verbally.
So, it was hilarious. She's so physically really funny.
So let's talk a little bit about your comic, Bob.
Let's talk a lot about it.
In fact, let's focus a little bit on your comic. Your comic is called 41.
Is it 41 or the 41?
It's just 41.
No, it's just 41.
Okay, 41. See, I screw that up all the time.
You fucked it up already.
I did. I did.
It happens.
So
now, did you? I sent you the PDFs. Did you guys read it?
I did.
I have read all of it. All five.
Matt doesn't read comics.
Matt, I can tell you, he hasn't. He looked at it.
He did. He viewed the pictures.
I got halfway through the first comic.
Yeah.
And then I got called away to work.
Okay, that happens. So. It happens. He's got a job, sort of.
We just tease Matt because he's like our man on the street too. Like, Matt, what did you think of this like comic thing? Is the art art's cool?
It had some colors.
Those pretty pictures look good.
But I mean, the funny part is, I mean, I think that's the way most people look at comics. Is they'll just pick it up and go, "Hey, this art's cool," and then they'll buy it. I mean,
that's why Matt's here.
Every other word in the comic could be like shit. But if the art's cool, nobody cares.
That's right.
That's the same way it is with pitches. You know, you send a pitch out and the art's terrible, you're not going to get that thing looked at. But if the art's awesome, then people check it out. That's just how it goes.
Well, so I guess you're saying that you're right now, but you're not trying to. Are you trying to pitch to anybody, or have you tried to pitch?
Like I said, right now money is kind of a problem for me. And in order to hire artists, you need money. And I, to be honest with you, man, like I don't know how to go about the idea of pitching.
So,
and I mean it like this when I say the idea of pitching is, I can't see spending the amount of money that it would cost to get the quality of artist for 5 pages of something that I'm never going to be able to finish.
Right.
Does that make sense? I'd rather pay somebody $35 a page to do an entire book then pay somebody $120 a page to do 5 pages of something that I'd be able to put on like Tumblr. Like, who gives a shit about Tumblr?
Right.
So I'm on it. So check it out.
I have a question.
BFrance19.
BFrance19.
BFrance19.tumblr. So
dot whatever.
I have a question then, because this makes me a little concerned. Reading the first arc, you know, 1 through 4 of volume 1, mm-hmm. I liked it. It was okay.
Which is where we diverge here. We disagree.
I really am already stoked about Danny though in volume two. Like I am fucking. You had me emotionally involved. Like I could disconnect from the mercenaries in your first stories, but at the same point, Danny had
the
me.
Guy
from
the, with the beard was baller.
He was pretty baller. But at the same point, you're telling me
Hernandez.
Am I not getting an issue too anytime soon? Is that what you're saying? That's really where I'm at. Like, fuck,
now,
dude.
What I'm doing is I'm trying to work on it now as I go.
Okay.
It's just a matter of, you know, if I get money, I'll get it made. And
then I
got to
get out. The follow-up question is the same artist, because I really liked the artist change, because I thought that the second artist was visionary. He had a good style.
He liked the style.
Yeah.
Yeah. He liked the style.
Hoyt's cool, man. I met Hoyt Silva. He's a good kid. He's doing a book for Blue Water now. Quartermain. He's doing a Quartermain book for Blue Water, so you might want to pick that up.
Okay.
Hoyt's a great dude, man. I met him at Heroes in Charlotte, North Carolina, you understand. The year I got fired, I met Hoyt, and he swung by the table and he was like, "Hey, this is a cool book. Woo! I'm an artist. Check out my stuff." And I was like, "All right, man, check it out." And he's like, "Well, let's stay in touch in case you ever need anybody." So I needed somebody, and Hoyt did it. Hoyt finished that book last year. I just didn't have any money to print it. Mm-hmm. So now I finally got a little scratch together to print it up. So yes, I want to do more of it. It's just a matter of, you know, capital.
Yeah. So. I got a couple structured questions.
We have a few
to throw at you, if you don't mind.
I don't care.
What inspired you to write comic books? Like, what was your influence? What influenced you? Like, what gave you that motivation?
I've always enjoyed telling stories. Before I got into radio, I wanted to go to film school.
Yeah.
Yeah, like every fucking kid that's all Pulp Fiction.
Dude, you're from Richmond. You spend time in Richmond and shit. I don't blame you. Like,
yeah. So I wanted to go to film school, and I didn't get the opportunity to because I got the job on 96X doing the Mike and Bob show. And I thought that would last 6 months.
Right.
I was 22 at the time. I just graduated from VCU. Mm-hmm. I got the gig. I was like, dude, I'll do this for 5 months. And while I was doing that, I was applying to colleges to go back and get my undergrad degree in film. So I was, you know, I was kind of living dual lives, I guess. And then the radio thing just took off, and I was like, all right, this is what I'm doing. And then, you know, 10 years later, I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Wishing you had gone to film school.
I know. I mean, I'm super happy where I am, man. Yeah. Like, everything happens for a reason. And I mean, I met Stephanie, you know, while I was doing the show. Hell, I actually found audio of me announcing that we were getting engaged last night. Like, I found our, you know, when I made the announcement that we got engaged, it was awesome. Like,
that's cool. Really cool.
Do it together. Yeah, it was fun, man. You know, so I don't regret anything. Like, this is the path I've chosen. This is what I do.
Were there any particular style of comic books or like a brand? Was it Marvel or DC that influenced
you more?
It's
weird because like I've always enjoyed reading like Spider-Man books, and Spider-Man's my dude. Like, that's a number one for me. And like
Doc Ock Spider-Man or Peter Parker Spider-Man?
Yeah, how did you feel about the Superior thing?
The Superior thing, at first I thought it was kind of goofy, but I've read the first 20 issues and I really liked it, and yeah. I have the last 10 that I have to go through, and I thought it was cool, man. Like, it's very creative. It's a cool idea. I'm surprised nobody caught on.
Dan Slott's a good writer. He's a good writer.
Slott's amazing. And, like, he can write that book forever. Like, I hope he does. I was bummed out when Hickman left Fantastic Four, because he did such a great job on that book, too.
Manhattan Projects is amazing. I haven't read anything Hickman did for Marvel, though.
Hmm. Oh, dude, like, his Marvel, his FF run and his Fantastic Four run are just amazing.
Yeah, they're not too bad.
Get it at the library. I think you could pick it up there and trade. It's awesome.
So based off of that answer and your shirt, I'm going to say you're fairly a Marvel guy.
I like some DC. Like, I really enjoy Green Arrow. Like, I love, like, the Mike Grell Green Arrow stuff, which is weird because these are all solo books.
Right.
But I enjoy writing a team book. Like, 41's a team book.
It is.
Well, the first volume.
Yeah, the first volume. The second one is going to turn into a team book.
Because, damn it.
You know.
No.
Mike really likes the kid.
I really like the kid.
The kid sticking around. I'm just rebuilding a team. That's all. And I'm slowly introducing the parts. That's all.
All right.
That's a spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't read it. I mean,
nobody's seen it. Like, nobody's seen issue 5 yet.
So let me throw this out there. In issue 5 with Hoyt as the artist, he makes some choices visually that I think are pretty cool. Were those in the writing and in the script for like the teddy bear eyeball thing?
No, that was all him. He was like, this is cool. I was like, I don't think so. And he was like, let's do it. I was like,
it's beautiful. We both loved it.
It is totally amazing. Those choices for that blew my mind. I was like, that makes the book.
That's a great artistic choice is what he said. So, and I said, I don't disagree.
Yeah. Good. I did, because I was like, this is kind of. He's like, no, trust me, it's cool. And yeah. I mean, that's part of it too. It's like, I'm not gonna be like this tyrannical dude. Like, I don't know thing one about art. Like, I just don't. I couldn't draw a circle to save my life. Like, I can't do it.
So, I draw mean stick figures, but I have a guy that's doing my story with me, Paul. We posted stuff up on Twitter and stuff. And, me? What?
Mean stick figures. They have little angry eyebrows or stick figures.
My dude? Well, I'm a mean dude. That's what the beard's for. It fucking scares people away.
Michael, do me a favor, man. I don't want to. You keep pulling off that microphone, and when you pull off of it, I can't hear you.
So you want me to just be all up in your ear?
Kind of stay on top of it, because every time you pull back, like, I lose you.
Be like Barry White, baby.
I just don't want to, because like, I see your lips moving, but then like, I can't hear what you're saying.
I see your lips moving, but nothing's coming out.
Right. Yeah. but I mean, I dig Hoyt's style. I think he did some cool stuff in the book, and it grew on me. And the weird part is too, it's like I've done 5 issues. I've had 3 artists, so it's kind of I have to like a lot of things.
Well, see, I was gonna say, like, with the art thing, like, you know, you could just, since you've already have stuff that you can submit. If I were you, like, when we get done, I'll talk to you off the air for a minute, because I got. Like every.
No, talk to me now, man. Okay,
I'll talk to you
now.
I'll talk to you on the air. All right, it's cool. I just thought we'll bore regular people. 2 comic book writers talking about writing shit. Fuck you guys.
I like the process. I think it's interesting.
It is. It's great. There's a website link that has every comic submission website ever. So the guy that's doing art for me, Paul Gorey, who I'll mention again. Can I say Paul Gorey one more time?
Paul Gorey.
I'm just saying a lot because I told him I would mention him. I sent it to him because it's real easy for artists to get jobs, as you know. If you're a decent artist, you can get a fucking job, right? Drawing comics. But trying to get a job as a writer, you have to, like, man, I don't know who you have to blow, but whoever it is, I'm waiting in line. And that was my announcement.
Like, it's weird. Like, you have to just work, and like, you have to put it in. Like, did you guys read Black Science?
No.
No, but I've heard of it.
Read it. Rick Remender is just the best.
Remender, Captain America, right?
Captain America. He Deadly did that. Class. He did Fear Agent. He did X Factor for a while. He's doing that. Yeah, that Deadly Class. He's awesome. And in the first issue of Deadly Class, like, he writes this little letter comparing like making comics to doing heroin, and he's like, you just do it, and he's like, you become addicted to the process, and like, you know, every day when you get new pages, it's more amazing, and you just keep writing because you love it, and you can't stop doing it. And I remember I follow him on Twitter, and he tweeted out one day that he remembers when Kickstarter was a high interest credit card, and that's how he did it. He said like he lost a wife making comics, he lost his house, like he was that invested into the process. And as a writer, it's like that's what you have to be.
Yeah.
Like, you just. No one, everybody writes. It's kind of like playing guitar. Everybody fucking plays guitar.
Yeah.
You have to do something to set yourself above and work hard and take that extra night that you don't feel like writing and sit down and make yourself bang through 3 pages even if you don't want to do it. You have to do it. Like, you have to, because the other guy's doing it. And you have to make yourself work. Like,
and they've been doing it longer and they're better at it. So then you have to like work even harder. I got you.
Yeah,
I
talked to at CincyCon, which was a really great show here. Tony Moore put it on from The Walking Dead. Super cool dude. Mm. He put on the show, and I was talking to Dennis Hopeless. To a guy, he's doing Avengers Arena.
I haven't even read any of that.
Super cool guy, and he was like, dude, he's like, I've written thousands and thousands and thousands of pages that'll never see the light of day, but I did it because I have to get better.
And it does get you better,
Yeah, you have to write, man. You have to fall in love with the process.
So for you, is there a specific software you use to write that you like to write with?
Just Word?
Just Word?
I don't even use Word because it sucks on this machine. I just use Google Docs.
Okay. Hence the you love Google comment earlier today.
I love some Google, but I have an iPhone because I don't love it that much.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah. So earlier before we started recording, we were mentioning some of the comics you were reading. You were reading Kicking with the new Ghost Rider, all new Ghost Rider.
Yeah, I dug that, man. I thought it was cool.
The art was kick ass.
Yeah, Moon Knight. You mentioned the new Warren Ellis Moon Knight.
Yeah, that was cool. I dug that.
What other books are you reading right now?
Man, I read the new Fantastic Four. I didn't think that was very good.
Really?
Was it Fraction?
See, I thought it was all right.
No, it was James Robinson, I think. I just didn't care for it because Comicsology made a mistake and they did like a 99 cent sale on all the Hickman stuff. I went back and bought it all and read it, and it's just so great. I think I had that on my brain. And I'm reading John Byrne's FF stuff now too, just because I dig the Fantastic Four a lot. I don't think they get a lot of play.
Are you excited about the new movie?
I got it. Whatever, man. I don't care.
I got it. I mean, do you have any opinion about the?
I'm excited about Will being the Human Torch with his red hair.
Our ginger.
The Fantastic Four movie will be as good as Doom,
if not better.
No. What I'm saying is, if Doom sucks, the movie will suck. If Doom is fantastically written and
holy shit,
portrayed,
hold on a second, just one second. What did I fucking tell you?
I know.
Marvel's only fucking relevant villain is Doctor Doom. Like that, not only, but huh? Was that
Marvel has some good villains. Magneto's awesome.
Magneto's good. Doom is good. But Mike and I were having this argument about Galactus.
I like Galactus.
Fuck Galactus. My motivation is I'm fucking hungry. What the fuck is that? I'm hungry. I'm going to make a Marvel villain if I ever get a job with Marvel. If I ever, I'm sleepy. That's my motivation. I'm going to fucking sleep.
I think Galactus, he eats planets. Like, he needs the energy. So
that's awesome.
Disagree. And the design is so just amazing. Like, the purple and the 60s. Weird wings coming off of his head. Like, he's the best.
I think he's terrible.
Thank you.
My hunger.
It is a classic fucking design. Oh, it's terrible. Gorgeous.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, Galactus is awesome.
And I disagree.
You got overruled, bitch.
I guess I did, but, you know. But I think DC has better villains than Marvel. That's just my opinion. I can relate to Lex Luthor, man.
You can
relate to a megalomaniac.
Yes, I can relate to him. Not with money or anything, but I want to fucking kick Superman's ass.
So let's get a little bit back to 41. what inspired your character design in there? Do you have like friends and family? I saw one of them was actually named, I think, in issue 5. One of the bad guys. What was it? Was it Mike? It wasn't Mike.
Yeah, Federale was in there.
Yeah, Federale.
A friend of mine is in there. He's an artist. He does some stuff for IDW. He's super talented.
I know Volume 1, the Mookie thing. Kevin, go ahead and schooled me that was like a Met or something.
Everybody in the book is a Met. Like everybody in that book is a New York Met. The title is Tom Seaver. 41 is the only New York Met in the Hall of Fame. Tom Seaver.
And then, Jesus Christ, Bob.
Keith Hernandez is Hernandez, and Gary Carter is Carter, and Johan Santana is Johan, and Reyes.
So we found his whole entire source for everything.
Because he was like, why is the black guy named Mookie?
I was like, that's so racist.
Is that racist? And I was like, no, dude, it's a Met. What's wrong with you?
Mookie Wilson is the big black mute guy, and what Sid is after Sid Fernandez from
Okay. All right, fine.
I told you.
Six Mets. Even Johnson, the guy is Dave Johnson, the manager. Yeah, like they're all Mets.
Told you.
Damn.
There you go.
Danny in the new book is named after Danny Heap. He was a Met. So yeah, they're all Mets.
they're all Mets. Mets. See?
Well, I'm glad I asked the question now, so now I know.
Yeah.
All right,
it's all Tom Seaman.
Follow-up question, why a post-apocalyptic kind of world?
I enjoy it, and you can do so much. I mean, because issues 1 through 4 are about a team of mercenaries. Mm-hmm. Issue 5 is about a kid and his dad. Yeah. Because, I mean, like, if you're dealing with this world, then you can kind of tell different stories of different people. Like, it just doesn't have to be focused on the Avengers or...
Right.
I'd be like, I can do what I want to with it, you know? I can break into, you know, just telling some weird story about, you know, a dad and his son who... And the dad was, you know... tested upon with weird chemicals and stuff to make him into like some kind of ultimate fighting machine.
My follow-up to that, you brought this up and I'm gonna have to call you on it because it's one of the things that I caught in the first book. It's 41 years since some dude basically blew up the world, right? So it's post-terrorism. In the fifth issue, volume 1 of volume 2 issue 1
numbers,
it's a meteor. So
yeah, nobody knows. Okay. Because the way I have it is I mean, if
wherever Danny
no one,
is,
no one
of
those characters,
sure.
except for maybe the guy with the beard, was at least 41 years old. So
yeah, they're all dead. Like everybody who knew what happened died.
So okay, those all right, I'll take it. I'll take it.
You couldn't like, go.
So
with
it's
that.
Always
you
so
sidestepped that one, sir.
No, it's I totally that's the way I thought about it. Like every character that I introduce is going to have a different tale of how they think the world ended.
Okay,
oh, that's like, cool. That's
it's like a giant
cool.
game of telephone, you know, like nobody knows what happens.
Fucking
you know, you
dinosaurs
just kind of,
came back.
You see the results. I mean, who yeah. knows? You okay. know? So it's just a way to kind of play with every aspect of it, you know, okay. you might run into one guy who's 80 that knows the whole story, but we'll get there, you know. But as for now, I mean, if I'm 30 years old, I don't know what happened 41 years ago. It's just going to be folklore at this point.
Right.
So are you a fan of any other comic book writers, or are there any writers that really influence what you were doing in 41?
I mean, to an extent. I mean, there are people that I enjoy reading. Like, I like reading Brubaker. I think he's awesome. I like reading Rick Remender now. Bendis is fantastic. He has the decompression issues that I think drive me nuts. But I think, like, if you read the old Bendis stuff, like the Daredevil stuff and the beginning of that, like, Ultimate Spider-Man,
Ultimate
it's great.
Spider-Man, yeah.
Yeah, like it's really, really well done, man. I mean, one of my favorite issues ever is a decompression issue, as they call it, of the New Avengers right before Secret War happened, after they killed Elektra, and they found out she was a Skrull.
Okay, all right.
And the Avengers were on a plane, and they're coming back from Tokyo, and they're just talking about what happened. It's
like
it's
what
awesome.
The hell, yeah.
Yeah, it was so cool, you know. But I think one of my favorite writers has always been kind of Brubaker. I like Brubaker style. Like I like Mark Waid, because they always have, like, it's always consistent. Like they're always good. If that
right.
makes sense.
Right. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Nope, I'm with you.
There's never highs nor lows. It's just solid. Like, you just read it and it's always like, boom. It's always going to be like a certain quality of work no matter what happens.
I'm definitely a Bendis fan myself. Like, the whole Age of Ultron little 10-issue arc, the Galactus hunger, and then Cataclysm afterwards.
Yeah, you had to throw that in.
I love Galactus, man. I'm sorry.
He's awesome.
It was a good four-part He's Gonna Eat Everything series.
I read weird shit, so that's why I'm here, because I read the weird shit.
You read shit?
I do. I love shit.
Can't help it.
I read... Go ahead.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I enjoy. Like, I really like Usagi Yojimbo. I think that's a great book, you know. I just read things. I like to just pick things up and try stuff at this point, you know. Like,
I read Rucka a lot. I like Lazarus.
Oh, Rucka's fantastic.
I like Rucka. I like Matt Hawkins. I like, J. Michael Straczynski.
Straczynski is good.
What else have I told you to read? Because I sent you a whole list of stuff.
I think that you've just brought me a lot of Hawkins. Like, so
I did bring a lot of Hawkins
that's,
with me. So
that's
you could
a good
see
start.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hawkins is good.
Hickman's really great. I enjoy Hickman a lot.
I've been reading Manhattan. Most of the stuff I read's on Image. I like Ennis. I like the new thing he's doing with the dogs. Red Rover Charlie. It's fucking awesome.
I haven't seen that.
Oh my god, it's so good.
If you read a lot of Image books, are you reading Peter Pan Fist or whatever it's called?
What?
Peter Pan Faust, I believe it's called.
No, I haven't seen that book.
It's cool, man.
It is.
I gotta find that one.
It's like Peter Pan set in World War II France. It's really good.
I gotta check it out because I
really good.
I do read a lot of Image. I read like Top Cow books. I read just straight Image books. I was telling him, I kept on telling Mike, I was bugging him. I was like, pick up Lazarus, dude. It's fucking fantastic. Pick up Lazarus.
Yeah, Lazarus is good.
It's fucking great.
It's all right.
And he didn't like it. I was like, it's Rucka, man. He's building something.
Rucka's awesome.
It's like five,
Gotham
six
Central.
Issues in.
Gotham Central.
Gotham Central is one of my favorite series ever. Like,
me too.
That was so brilliant.
So
well, hopefully the TV show will pick up some of that.
Hopefully the TV show is just Gotham Central.
Like, that's what I was thinking too.
I want it to be like just be like Law and Order with Batman.
That's kind of how they sold it, actually.
And he doesn't even have to show up. Batman could just be in the background, and they go dung dung, and then he's like,
oh,
Gordon.
Yeah, that's all you need. And that would be
he just says one line every episode, Gordon,
and then the fucking credits.
You don't need anything else. It's Batman will sell it, and then that, like, if they get good enough actors to do the detectives, it's on, you know. So Mike has another question.
I do, in fact. So
I can see him poising. He's like,
I'm waiting for the moment. So 41.
Just ask.
I am.
I'm here to be questioned.
I'm throwing this shit at you now.
Interrogated. Swinging light behind Bobby. You can't see it. Go ahead.
Can we find 41 anywhere still? Or I mean, because I know it was in local shops for a while.
If they're out of it, they're out of it. Like, okay. I'll have some at Tidewater Con. Mm-hmm. Living in Cincinnati. Look at that. Living in Cincinnati is pretty awesome because there's cons all over the place.
That's the book I was talking about. Go ahead.
I have to check that out. There's cons everywhere. And last year I went to like Derby City Con in Louisville and I did really great there. I did a show in Huntington, West Virginia, and I did great there. Like, I crushed it. I sold out a book, so it was awesome.
That is pretty cool. So, that is cool.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
How is dealing with Primal Paper? Bless you, sir.
They do what they do, man. Like, Primal Paper comics is fun. The guys involved are nice. They take it a little more seriously than I do, because when Federale and I started it years ago, it was just an excuse to go to shows with somebody. It was just to split the costs and to, like, you know, ad trade. Like, I would put ads in my books for Federale and vice versa.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, like Dork Trek and all the other stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's just to fill time. You know, you gotta have even numbers of four to print. So you kids out there, you know, you need 24 pages. That includes front cover, back cover. So remember that. These are things that you learn while you do this.
Right.
But it just started out as kind of a simple way to go to shows with people. And so you don't have to spend $300 at Heroes. You're only spending $150. But then, like, we let a couple dudes in, Justin Cristelli that does Red Knight and Jeff Hewitt that does The Ends and Vince that does Willpower.
Gotcha.
And it's kind of taken on this whole like new creator vibe, and I don't know, man.
That whole thing Image is capitalizing on. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, they do their thing, man. And, like, they have books, and Jeff's book, The Ends, is really good. And I like Red Knight. Red Knight's a cool book, and Willpower's powerful.
Is his name Will? I have to ask.
It is.
That's
Willpower.
Willpower. That's Vince's thing. Like, be powerful, you know?
That's
they
do
their thing, man, and they sell books, and they go to shows all over the place. So, yeah, man, they're kind of doing it, you know? So they're having fun, and that's what it's all about. It's just about making books and telling stories and, you know.
So besides the Mets, what inspired the character designs? Was it your besides just friends? Was it any family or anything?
You know what I do, man? I just tend to kind of find actors that I like and that I think, you know, would be.
I do that shit too.
You know, I'll cast the book in my head and go, you know, who'd be cool to play this guy? A young Tom Skerritt. Like, that's who Keith is based after, like a young Tom Skerritt. Like, if you find a picture of Tom Skerritt, that's kind of what he looks like. without getting sued. Reyes looks like Jose Reyes, like really does in real life with the dreads and stuff. And you just kind of go from there, man. You know, you just kind of come up with ideas and just kind of run with it.
Cool. So have you gone to any Mets games with a copy of the book?
No, I have not. I've been to a couple games here in Cincinnati. Like I said, I had sold out, so yeah. We'll see.
Okay, fair enough. How are you feeling about the start of the season for them? What are
they? They're 0-3, man. Well, I knew they weren't gonna be any good.
It's still statistically possible for the Mets to be in the World
Super
Series.
Bowl.
Not
statistically possible.
They could be in the Super Bowl.
They could.
They're just as good.
You know, they probably get a better shot of making the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
But yeah, man, like 41's a fun book. The first one came out in 2010. Five is coming out on the 12th. So I'm just going to keep going with it, man. Just keep telling stories.
You're bringing five with you to Tidewater.
Yes, I will have five at Tidewater.
Mike is going to buy a copy.
I will. I'll snatch a copy from you, man.
Because we had a digression. He was like, so what'd you think? And I was like, I really love... See, without doing any spoilers for anybody that hasn't
read it.
That's
fine. I don't care, man.
I don't want to do spoilers. I'm just going to say, I want people to buy your book is what I want.
Yeah, because so, four ends
the
in
end,
a, in
I
a
liked
kinda
the
semi-twist
end. I got to the end and I was like, there was a panel that really like, I said, did you see the panel where she turned and you could see like the black and the, I was like, I knew something was up right there with that bitch from that panel. And he was like, so did I. And he's like, you didn't see. You know, so
I felt like I saw it coming the whole time.
So then
that's cool though.
But when I got to the end, I was like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Yeah. That was cool. And then this was cool. So I don't want to like shoot it in the foot, but I just thought, just for people listening right now, buy it and read the whole thing through conclusion.
I'd also like to throw out, though, that if you just happen to start with five, you're good.
That's Mike's opinion.
That's the cool part about it, too. It's like, that's what kind of why I started over with volume two, number one.
Yep.
Because I think you can kind of jump in and get a feel of what's happening. I mean, at the end, you're going to be confused because, like, who's this dude? But, you know, what I'll do is I'll explain who he is in two.
Right.
So well, it's just a matter of.
And, that was
and I liked that about the volume two. I said that to him. I said, the one thing that really hooked me on.
Whereas you saw
volume
Mookie
two. I saw the character from volume one. I was like, that. And the line. For the end of that, I thought that was brilliant. Is like, you know, that's not going to be a spoiler. Well, fuck it if it's a spoiler. If you don't like it, you can fucking tweet me on Twitter and be like, fuck you, Kevin, you suck. And I'll be like, okay. I like the line. It said,
let me tweet him real quick.
Men who can't talk. You say fuck you, you suck anyway, douche nozzle. Anyway, the line was, men who can't talk tell no tales. Is that the exact line? And it was perfect. I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah. That was the plan from the jump off. I was going to, I had this team that I said, I'm going to kill all of them. Except the mute.
The only one that lives is the guy that can't talk.
Kill them all.
Exactly.
Good. Fuck them all.
It was just kind of going from there, man. I'll kill all of them and the mute will stick around and that makes it interesting because then it's less dialogue I have to write. So it's cool.
And oddly enough, that was one of my feelings when I got to the end of that. I was like, oh, good. I don't have to worry about the rest of them. I'm fine. I can remember this one. This guy.
It's true, man. I mean, you know.
None of the character bits and pieces of who makes what up and what the specialist was. I don't have to remember any of that now.
And at first I thought I had this huge revelation. I was like, he lived because he's the only guy with a Mets name. And like,
they're all Mets names.
He killed all the rest of the Mets. Fuck them. You know,
he can't speak.
They all cost us a series here or there.
But because it's funny, like you said that you figured it out. Like, when did you figure it out?
Oh, like when they were talking outside of the tent, man. Like, you could just feel her, like, not giving a fuck about anybody else. Like,
good. That's the whole. Yeah, that's
she was disconnected.
Awesome.
It was really good. So the art actually conveyed it really well.
See,
so
and
I was very
impressed. And I actually wager the other way. I like Hoyt way better.
Because he does.
His lines are cleaner. His grays are smoother. I mean, because if you're doing black and white, you want somebody that can understand the grayscales. Like, so I don't remember the names of your first couple artists. But
Pablo did issue one.
Yeah, so they're not bad artists. I'm not saying anything bad about the dudes. I'm just saying I felt like a lot of the character design was cluttered, whereas Hoyt's stuff is smooth.
Well, I think Hoyt's got it a little easier too because
it's a little
to
kid.
Be fair, it's kind of a karate story. Like it is at its core. I mean,
but that's awesome. Like the five deadly venoms or whatever. Yeah, like
it's backwards Lone Wolf and Cub. You know,
yeah,
that's all right. It is. Like I love Lone Wolf and Cub. I always have. And I said, you know what? I'm going to make a crippled dad and a badass kid. You know, so I just did reverse Lone Wolf. You know, so.
Something that should be on Urban Dictionary. Reverse Lone Wolf.
That's the same jerk off like that.
I gave her a gorilla mask and then I did a reverse Lone Wolf. See, it fits.
Finished her off with an angry pirate.
Yeah, totally. But it's just easier to do. I mean, Hoyt's a super talented kid and he's a really nice guy, but it's an easier story to tell because there's only one issue. Yeah. And I mean, the character designs are guys in karate pajamas. You know what I mean? Like, whereas in. Like
I got
one through
that.
Four,
a lot
you
of
have
pockets
dudes that are wearing like bulky equipment and guns and stuff. So it kind of got away from me a little.
It felt a little bit like cluttered bits and pieces. Like he just had so much going on in all the scenery. Like you couldn't really focus on the characters so much.
See, I liked it because it had like this Magnificent Seven, like A-team feel to it. So that's why I'm into that. Yeah, see, I'm into that. So
I wanted to do, an A-team in the Apocalypse. That's when I wanted to do the book. That's exactly what I said.
I was right.
This is going to be like a post-apocalyptic A-team stuff, and I just did it.
And it was like, I could hear the music in the background.
My only regret, and I'm hoping you can kind of help me out with this one. The bad guy, your villain, amazing character design for me, and that almost aloof feel to his phrasing. Tell me he comes back. He's not just gone forever,
right? He's talking about the hunter, the protector.
You're going to see like... little glimpses of things.
Oh, come on, man. He is a prime character, man. He's got
good... He's cool. It's just a matter at this point now that I need to find a way to work him back in.
No, man. The city could just pop up out of nowhere. This shit is fucking gold.
The city. The city was cool. I thought that was cool.
The city was cool. It's you know, he's there to protect, this group of people that have figured everything out, and they don't want these heathens who destroyed their world ruining theirs.
This is death for you.
So it kind of works. But what I want to do is, I think every now and then I've even told Hoyt that in volume two, issue two, I just want little of the soldier guys to just kind of outlines of them to pop up, because they're always going to kind of be around.
Yeah, see, I dig that.
Yeah, they have to kind of keep tabs on Mookie. He knows everything. He just can't speak. So every now and then I want you to see a little outline of somebody and go, who is that? You know, it's just stuff to kind of pay attention to. It's just for me mainly. Nobody else gives a shit.
No, it's cool. That's cool. I would pay attention to that.
I feel real good about that issue now because I have silhouettes. I'm done. Yeah.
I will say that Mike, I kind of agree. If I can call you Mike, I don't want to go.
No, you're good.
Far out.
You call me whatever you want. Besides
Mr.
your bitch.
You can call him Mr. Kniggett.
That's right.
He answers to Douche Nozzle
on Twitter.
No, I'll just call you Mike. It's fine.
Mr. Ryder.
I think. To be honest with you, I think 5 is the best written issue. Yep. I'm not going to lie. It makes me happy that
you tighten up a lot in your narrative, and which is cool. And I dig it.
Because I've always kind of said that I want to go back and read 1 and go, oh my God, this is really amateurish almost. You know what I mean?
But at the same point, you got to put that time in.
Yeah, I want to feel like I'm getting better as I progress.
I'd say, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. We both agreed on that.
Yeah, that's the whole point. As you go, you get better, right. And that's what I want to do, you know? So that's a positive. I don't take anything.
If people want to go back, read the first 4 if they can find them, awesome. And if they pick it up
with
5...
I'll have them at Virginia Tidewater Con.
Well, then I might fucking pick them all up.
I'm going to pick them up just to have them.
Well, fuck you.
And you can get a fucking autograph too, Mike, see?
so essentially, though, I'm happy. I'm happy with the book. I think you're doing a good thing, man. I miss you on a daily basis, though. And seriously, the mornings fucking blow.
The afternoon show was better anyway.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Because you guys were always fucking tired in the morning. But it didn't really start up until about 9-ish.
6 years of it, we were. Well, that was designed that way. We were told, we just did what they told us to do towards the end.
And that was kind of the...
We still got fired.
Good Lord. Good Lord, well, Tony Schiavone.
It was fired in such a... I'm going to bring it up because I kind of feel like I have to now. The most fucked up way, right? Because they just changed the... You know what? Fuck it. We're going to do the ratings differently, and now you're screwed. So...
The way it kind of happened, we were being tinkered with on... I guess on every level, you know, the second morning show, because we were in the morning show before, was kind of doomed.
That's right.
From the jump off, because our owner of the station said, we're going to do this on the 30th of August, no matter what. And I was like, dude, I'm going to have a child around that time. So can we wait until after my child is born? Because I'm taking my 2 weeks.
Right.
And he was like, no, we're doing it on the 30th. And lo and behold, Sophie came on the 30th. I missed the first 2 weeks of our morning show.
That's awesome.
I just wasn't there. I was
Was it just Slights and Mike?
It was Mike, Slights, and Chapel. And then we came back, and then we did the show, and then we took Christmas off, because we always took Christmas off.
Yeah.
And then after Christmas, Chapel had a baby, and then Mike had a baby. So we were on in the mornings the second time for about 7 months, where I'd say 2.5 of it, we weren't even there. A show, we were just gone. So it was written on the wall. We were going to get fired.
But for people that aren't from around here, they have to, we had to put it in perspective. For Mike and Bob to take on, Tommy and Rumble, who've been, on FM 99 for fucking
20
ever,
years.
And kick their asses some, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Well, we were more comfortable in the morning. In the afternoons. The afternoon show is kind of our deal.
But take the compliment. You came into their time slot.
You jump
and you trounce them.
It's like if you were to have some really minor upstart comic company kick the pants off of Marvel and DC for 2 weeks and be in the top 10, everybody'd be like, what the fuck?
It was walking into your neighbor's barbecue and pissing on the grill. You know what I mean? It's not.
I mean, to some extent,
you've done that before, Mike.
I know.
Rumble's still on the air, and I live in Cincinnati.
Yeah, but it's horrible. It is horrible cookie cutter shit.
Well, he needs a sidekick, man. Do you have a pitch?
No, I'm good.
I was kidding.
I don't want that job.
No, don't blame you. So, did you ever meet him though in real life?
Yeah, super cool guy, man. Like everybody you meet in radio is cool. Yeah. I mean, they're all pretty nice. There are a few exceptions. I was probably one of them.
You're all right.
I was always kind of a jerk.
You seem okay to me.
I mean, I am.
It's years of being humbled.
I met you before, but you wouldn't remember me because I didn't have the beard back then. I used to hang out.
I probably do. You can tell me.
But I used to hang out with Mike at Middies all the time. Like on.
I was so drunk then.
I was drunk too, and we used to joke around. Like honestly, this is a weird fucking Bob Fresh fact. Here it is. Like we used to joke around, and it would be like, "You're so money right now," and all that. That's why I said it to you. I figured he might remember. I don't know. Hey, he's fucking wasted. I was fucking wasted. Mike is fucking wasted.
It was Middies.
That's what's going on.
This place isn't even there anymore.
Like, no. Tribeca or something like that.
Anyway. Yeah,
it's not there.
Man. No, it changed again.
I don't go out, man. I have kids.
Yeah, I drive past it on a daily. So
I read comics. Stay home and read. Yeah. I'm fucking exciting. Yeah.
I try to write comics.
I do that same thing too. So yeah, I'm not very. Yeah,
But it's cool. It's, you know, it's fun to do. I like it. It's weird because, like I said, man, I dig Hoyt stuff. I really love issue 4. Like, I think issue 4, the artwork for issue 4 is brilliant. Like,
it smoothed out too. It wasn't a lot of cluttered shit because you had the open house, you had the field, you had a lot of stuff that was just very cleanly drawn.
Yeah, and I think, and you know, with Alex, I mean, he kind of jumped into this and kind of had some character designs that Pablo had because, like, you don't want something that's completely different.
So he changed little things here and there, I noticed, but it was just more like it was like, this is my stylistic take on it.
Who was the kid with the Jufro? What was his name?
Rusty.
Rusty.
Rusty. After Rusty stopped.
Why did he have to die? He was the fun one.
Everybody says that. Like everybody that reads the book was like, "Why did you have to kill him?" I was like, "Well, because he can speak."
That's right. he was a witness.
The funniest part is that you're a lot like Rusty Mike, and that's why he didn't want to die. You wouldn't have fit in the hole.
No,
and,
I'm
like,
just saying because he had the hair and the goodness.
Fuck with you, Mike.
It was good things, and
I thought it was good. I thought the Jufro was good, man. I like Jufros.
Like I said, when I go back and read issues 1 through 4, there are things that I really dig about it, and there are things that I don't kind of dig about it. But I just think that's natural progression.
Right.
And that would be like if I went back and listened to the Mike and Bob show and listened to issue 1 or the last show. You know, there'd be things that I hope you grow as. And I think as a writer and as a performer, I try to grow every day, man. So that's the whole point.
Yeah, no, I'm really enjoying where it's headed in volume 2. And I was, you know, it's, and I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but like I read the first 2 issues and I was like, I could leave it. I could drop it. But then as I hit like that 5th issue, man, I was stoked on Danny. I mean, I was locked like by page 3 or 4.
Danny's a cool kid. It's a cool little story. Issue 1, volume 2 is about, like I said, there's a kid and his father, and the father is a cripple.
Yep.
And Danny's like a killing machine, like this little Chinese killing machine, and he is trying to get revenge on the man that crippled his father. So I mean everything about it is simple. I mean, it's a simple revenge story, whereas 1 through 4 is like this big kind of bulky, you know, team book with twists and stuff. Where
so do you almost feel like that first volume you bit off a little bit more than you wanted to originally?
Exactly. Okay. You know, it's like I had the idea for the story and I just kind of went with it. And then I was like, you know, I just kind of want to get back to basics because even as like a comic fan, I appreciate reading like one-shot issues.
Yeah, you were saying you preferred like the single stuff, like your Black Panther solo. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff.
Just even like the old, like, you know, Stan Lee style of one issue, one story. Boom, there it
is. Right. You know, everybody's comic is a first, you know, or every comic is somebody's first comic.
Yeah, so I'm trying to, at this point now, like everything I write is kind of in that vein of one issue, one story, but you know, you tie something in at the end that's going to lead to other things. So that's kind of what I'm trying to do now is like as a writer. And I think it's going, you know, fairly well.
Yeah.
So
yeah. No, we'll and like I said, I thought five was beautifully done. So
thanks, man. That's the issue that I think is the best one that I've done.
And I can't speak highly enough of Hoyt.
He likes the art style. Like me personally, I wasn't sold on it at first, but I have to go back and relook at it because Mike's prompting me to. He's like, you like the other stuff. You'll like it.
It is amazingly smooth.
So this is how we kind of feed off each other when he likes something, except for Marvel. Right now, I'm not feeling
Marvel. He still
hates
Galactus, so...
I'm not feeling Marvel right now.
But eventually...
I could come around. Yes, exactly.
All the good writers, they want money, They want a company that can do things.
I want some of that Mickey Mouse money, yeah.
That's right. Right.
I will be excited about DC when they make Ollie old again. Like, when they make Green Arrow old, I'll be happy. He's too young.
Are you watching that TV show?
It's pretty good. I saw the first season. I liked it. But I'm just talking about the comics.
Oh, yeah. I know. I was just curious. Just threw it out there.
Everyone in DCU is like 24.
Yeah,
I don't get that.
Batman couldn't really be 24 realistically. So, yeah. He'd have to be at least 30. So,
I mean, yeah, like they're all too young for me, man. Like, I feel like I'm at like a high school walking around.
They can't be younger than me. This is wrong.
Yeah, they got to be. Superman's an old dude. Like, he's in his 40s, you know? Like, I don't know. That's just the way my mind works.
Yeah,
like, Ollie. Like, you got Ollie running around. He doesn't have a goatee. He's not some like weird, bitter old man. I don't dig it. You know?
Fair enough. So we're right at 50 minutes. I think what I'm going to do is go ahead and run a close here. Bob, it has been, we'll stick around. We'll talk after too, but, it has been a fabulous experience having you, man.
A pleasure.
And I cannot say more how much I miss having you and Mike around in my afternoons.
I appreciate that, man. Like we had a really special thing. We had a really fun thing.
Yeah. It was one of those things where you didn't have a format. You didn't have a set shit for nothing every day. It was like, fuck it. Let's play a game. And I miss that because I've been driving.
Cool,
it would just keep things happy for me while I'm driving fucking traffic from Hampton back to Williamsburg, you know?
I think, it was an overall attitude and an overall vibe. When Mike and I first started doing the show, we said if we're going to do this, we have to be as kind of – it's got to be us playing video games on the radio.
Yeah.
And the stuff that we talk about and the stuff we do while we act like jackasses, you know, and it worked, you know, it was a lot of fun, and hopefully, you know, one day, maybe down the road, I'd like to try to get back into radio, just see what happens.
If you do, let me know, please, like tweet me or something, because I will, if it's online somewhere, I'll fucking find it.
And you should, based on everything we talked about today, you should follow Bob on Twitter. Bob, what's your Twitter?
What is it, at Bob?
My Twitter handle is bfrantz, FRANTZ19, and that's my Twitter handle.
There it is.
19?
So yeah, 119. BFrantz19. It's also my Tumblr and all that other bullshit. 41comic.com is the website. I'm on Facebook.
Yep.
So just look it up, man.
And then Tidewater Comic-Con, you will be selling what? That is a special Tidewater Comic-Con exclusive? See if you put it like that.
I'll be selling all my books, and then I'm going to be selling a Best of Bob's Boneyard CD that might have some other fun stuff on there.
Some secret material.
There's some secret stuff on there. It's a reverse lone wolf. So, I had to bring it back. You know?
All right, fair enough. Like fair enough. All right, well, Bob, I appreciate your time.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. No problem. So I guess we're good. Will's not here to say support your local comic book stores.
Do that. Go to Comic Kings. Go see the boys over here.
Holy shit,
we got a different
store plug. Comic Cubicle in Williamsburg. So there's AF Comics in Newport News.
It doesn't matter where you buy comics.
Just go to your local comic
buy comics.
I agree. Support
and
the writers.
If you go
man.
To Heroes and Villains, wear your Manchester City gear
and piss Rich off.
Fair enough.
And make sure you tell Rich that Taurus sucks.
Fair enough. All right, so Bob France, I appreciate your time. I'm Mike Knight. With me, as always,
Matt Lestock.
And guest starring for the Human Torch himself, Will Chamberlain, is
Kevin Cuff with a silent E.
Kevin Cuff with a silent E. I appreciate it, guys. All right, thanks.
Thanks, man.